from verse 32. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 32 to 37. It says that whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Okay. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by fruit, by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus was telling them something. You know, they came and they were claiming that the healings and the works of power he was doing, they were works of the devil. So he addressed that matter. And then he's saying that a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt seed, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good seed. And then he said, make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Or if you make the tree corrupt, the fruit will be corrupt. Now, what kind of corruption is he talking about? He's talking about the words, because he goes ahead to explain. He says that, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? So they are the tree, and then whatever they are saying are the fruit. So he says that if you want to get good fruit, then make the tree good. Which means that whatever the person is saying is coming from within. So if you put good words in you, then they will come out. So they had fed themselves on junk. So that's what was coming out. So then he goes on to say that a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Okay. So he says a good man out of the good treasure of the heart. So that treasure in the heart, how did it get into the heart? So when it comes to treasure, you are the one who builds your treasure. You build your treasure. Like somebody has a safe deposit box and they go and put in whatever they want to put in. Or somebody has a chest of drawers. Whatever it is, they put, whatever they are picking out is something they have put inside. So he's telling you that if you want good words to come out, then you have to put them in, deliberately put them in. This is why it's important to hear the word. It's important to read the word. It's important to consume the word, to devour the word ourselves. Okay. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Okay. So he's saying something. He said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now there he says every idle rhema that men shall speak, they will give account in the day of judgment. Now what day of judgment is he talking about? Is it talking about at the last day? Because when he talks about the last day, he specifies, like he talks about, like he specifies what context he's talking about. Like he doesn't just leave it hanging. So when he says the day of judgment, he's not talking about the day when the whole world will come and stand before the great white throne. Okay? He's talking about the day of every, whatever words they've spoken, there's a day of judgment where those words will come to pass. Okay? So that's what he was talking about. That for every idle rhema that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now let's look at something. The Bible talks about coarse joking. And sometimes believers, they joke with things that they should not be joking with. So I remember there's this friend of mine, during the period of the pandemic, she's a doctor, so her duty was so crazy. She was running very crazy. She said that, and jokingly, we both jokingly said, we both should know better. We're like, oh, if she got COVID,
then like she would just get some time off, because those times, like if the person got COVID, the person got about 3 weeks off from work. Did you know that within about 2 weeks, she had gotten COVID, she almost died. And so that was quite something. And we both realized that that was cause joking.
Yeah. Anyway, so he says, I say unto you that every idle rhema that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Okay, so this is the link. Jesus said that
for every, isn't it interesting? He said, for every idle rhema that men shall speak, they'll give account in the day of judgment. Then he comes to say that by your logos, you'll be justified, and by your logos, you'll be condemned. So it sounds a bit like, how do you merge the two? Because he says that they will give account of the idle rhema in the day of judgment. Now he's saying that they are being condemned by their logos, or justified by their logos. What Jesus is saying here is that it is the logos that produces the rhema. So bad logos will produce bad rhema, and good logos will produce good rhema. And that's why I established that when it comes to the logos, it's not just any logos. It says the logos of his grace, then the logos of righteousness, and it talks about the gospel of the grace of God. So it's not just any kind of logos. So you will see that people have various kinds of logos. They have their own understanding of scripture. And because logos simply means the, like words put together, and then the intent or the thought behind it. So someone can have, they memorize a lot of scripture, but their logos is wrong. And if their logos is wrong, the rhema will also be wrong. That's why he said that even though they are given account of the idle rhema in the day of judgment, it is the logos that is producing that rhema. It is the logos that is producing that rhema. So whatever kind of logos they have will determine the kind of the or the quality of the rhema that they have. And over the years, or generally, they've been, or in times past, they've been, we've kind of hyped the rhema and maybe like look down on the, not look down, but maybe not prioritize the logos as much. But obviously, from the scriptures that we've established, it is difficult, nearly impossible to have the rhema without the logos. Okay, you can have the occasional where the wind blows the rhema here and there. It's just like someone who comes into the company, and the person is in the company, and some companies have SOPPs. You come in, you sign the whole encyclopedia, every page, and this person does not read, didn't bother to read. Okay, so the person is not familiar. So the things that they should do, maybe the checklist that they should go by, you know, that they don't do any of those things. Now, that person will be a very difficult worker, okay, to their superiors. But the superior can send them on errands. But it'll be difficult to refer them to the SOPP because they don't have it, they don't understand it, they have not read it, you see. So rhema can come, some rhema can come occasionally, but it will not be as frequent as the person who is full of the right logos. So that's why the logos is so important. All right, now let's go to Psalm 103 from verse 19 to 20. It says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Again, so when you look at it in the Hebrew, where it says that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. The word is dabar in the Hebrew, and the Greek Septuagint will put this as what? Rhema. He says that they do his rhema. They hearken to the voice of his rhema. So this will explain why angelic manifestations or the ministry of angels is not so common. People will say, oh, it says that they hearken to the voice of his word. It's the rhema they are hearkening to. So when you speak that rhema, the angels go to work and they make sure that they bring it to pass. So that's what he's saying. It says that they do his rhema. They do his rhema. When you speak the rhema, the angels are activated. They are activated. You know, Jesus said something. He said that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. So again, some people, you've heard stories of people who fasted until they died and all kinds of things, okay? But because people say that man shall not, the person is hungry, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And their understanding is by reading the Bible. That's not what he said. He says that man will live by the rhema. It is what God has said, or what God is saying to you now, that you will live by. This is why you find that, like Moses was in the presence of the Lord for 40 days, and God was speaking to him. God was speaking to him. So every word was fresh. God was speaking to him. And you find Elijah also. The Bible says that when the angel came and gave him that food, the Bible says he went in the power of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So what happened there? The word of God came to him. The word of God came and said, it said, get up and eat. He said, because the journey ahead of you is long. So that was the rhema that was brought to him. So with that, he could go 40 days and 40 nights. You see, it is not just that, okay, he took some scrolls and he was... If the rhema came while he took the scrolls, that's fine. But if the rhema did not come and the person is pushing it and they are punishing their body, that's an issue. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's the rhema that the person lives by, not just that they have the logos. Okay, because they may even have the wrong logos. That's the thing. They may even have the wrong logos because they may not have the right doctrine. And last week I emphasized on doctrine. I talked about how doctrine is so important. Because the Bible talks about that being a good swordsman, you have to have what? The doctrine of righteousness. Because if you don't have the doctrine of righteousness, then you cannot get good rhema from there. So you cannot be a good swordsman. Okay?
Alright, so now let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28 from verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28 from verse 9 to 13. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So I'm going to read that again and emphasize what I want to emphasize. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Okay, he will speak to this people with what? Stammering lips and another tongue. Where he says he will speak to this people is a verb of what? Rhema, daba, is a verb there. You see, so he says that it is through the stammering lips that he's going to bring rhema to the people. Okay, then he says that to whom he said, this is the rest. He said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. He said they rejected it. They would not hear. And I talked about last week how even some great ministers of the gospel, like Dawi, they opposed the speaking in tongues. They opposed it so viciously. Okay. Now, he says that, yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them.
You know, I used to think that, yeah, because that's what I heard, that, you know, John G. Lake, he went to Africa, South Africa, and then his wife starved to death. And apparently, it was Dawi's followers in South Africa who poisoned her. And when she died, they buried her immediately, because they knew that if John G. Lake came, he would raise her back to life. Crazy, isn't it? Anyway, so because they opposed John G. Lake because of his emphasis on the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues.
Anyway, he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. He said, yet they would not hear. But the rhema of God, of the Lord, was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line.
So he talks about the rhema there. And he says that this stammering lips is going to be a catalyst for bringing in what? The rhema. And he says that this is how they'll get rest. And this is how they'll get refreshed. He says, but no, they would not. But they would not. So now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, from verse 18 to 21. He says that, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Okay? Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, said the Lord. You see, so he's quoting from Isaiah. With reference to this, he's talking about it, that it is written there that with stammering lips, okay, and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is teaching about tongues, essentially. He's talking about speaking in tongues. So now he's referencing that scripture, which is probably the only one in the Old Testament that talks about this matter. Okay, now, he says another important thing. He says this. He says that I would rather in the congregation, meaning that in the church, he said, I would rather speak 5 words in a known tongue so that I may teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, the Bible says that the scriptures are given by words carefully chosen by the Holy Ghost. Carefully chosen by the Holy Ghost. So that's why when it says in Peter, for example, that in that a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He didn't say, you never know. That's not what he's talking about. He's telling you that that's what the scriptures use. So when he says, for example, that it says 70 weeks are decreed for your people, O Daniel, we understand it to be 70 weeks. 70, each week is 7 years. You see, each week is 7 years. And then when the Bible talks about 2 days, we know that it's talking about 2,000. He's talking about 2,000. Hallelujah. So that's the important thing to note. So when he's using these ratios and things like that, he's not using talking in abstract terms. He's not talking in abstract terms. He's talking specifics. He said that in the congregation, I would rather speak 5 words than 10,000 in tongues. So he's telling you that it is in speaking in tongues, in the same breath that I speak 5 words, in tongues, I can speak 10,000. So this is disproportionate. It's far disproportionate to anything that somebody can think of. That's why he said that the one that speaks in a tongue is not speaking to men, but he's speaking to God. Because even though in the natural, nobody understands him, but in the spirit, he's speaking what? Mysteries. And now he's telling us this. He says that he would rather speak 5 words than 10,000. So it's 1 to 2,000. That's how much more you can accomplish in tongues than in the natural language. But he says that he will choose the natural language if he's teaching the people. if he's teaching the people. So in tongues, you can cover a lot of grounds. You can cover a lot of grounds when you speak in tongues.
Hallelujah.
When you speak in tongues, you can cover a lot of grounds. Now he goes on to say that, brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice? In malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
So he says be naive when it comes to like wicked things. Be naive. But when it comes to in understanding, be men. Or as be mature.
In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Okay, so I'm establishing 2 points here. First of all, I said that the Old Testament was telling us that the tongues, the stammering lips, is going to be the catalyst or the vehicle by which the rhema would come. That's what he said. He said with stammering lips, I will speak. It's rhema. That's the verb form of the Hebrew noun rhema. So it says that with stammering lips, I'll give them rhema. And I'll say that, but the rhema of God was unto them. Okay? And then he said something. He said, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So when why does it call it stammering lips? Because sometimes when people begin to speak in tongues, or when you start to speak in tongues, even sometimes when you are speaking in tongues, you've been speaking for a long time, but it sounds like you are stammering. It's like stammering. And then he says that it is precept upon precept. It says it's building blocks. Building blocks. Like things are being put one on top of the other. Hallelujah. And then he said that as you are doing that, he said that the refreshing will come. The rest will come. Rest will come to you as you do that. So that's the first thing. That he's saying that the rhema comes as carried by tongues. The stammering lips. The stammering lips. And then he goes on to say something else. He says that when it comes to speaking, and he's by himself, he will speak in tongues a lot. In fact, he told the Corinthian church, he said that, I thank my God, I speak with tongues, said more than ye all. And the Amplified translates it now. It says that more than any of you and all of you put together. So this is what he's telling you. And why is it? Because he's given us right there the ratio of it. He said it is what? 5 is to 10,000. So in the same breath that he can speak 5 words in known tongues, I can speak 5 words in tongues, and it's like 10,000. 10,000. That's why it's called a heavenly language. Hallelujah. And of course, here we are talking about the tongues that came to the believer for edification. Edification. Hallelujah. The tongues that you are for your for your use. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm not talking about the tongue where you are speaking Spanish and all that. I'm talking about the tongues that, they are wondering what's going on. Glory to God. That's the tongues that we are talking about. Okay. Then let me continue. Okay. Now, it brings me to what I'm going to talk about today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Okay.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we've established that this is the Logos in action, isn't it? This is the Logos being wielded as a shield, quenching everything. Okay. Then he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Hallelujah. So he says, take the helmet of salvation. So you have to know that you are saved. You are saved and cannot be unsaved. Hallelujah. That is established. Glory to God. The Christian cannot be unsaved. Once you are saved, you cannot become unsaved. Amen. Now, this is important to... Okay, yes. So every time when I want to digress a bit, I have to make sure that I don't, that it's necessary. So this is necessary. You know, when it talks about the believer, because somebody may say that, somebody said, the Christian cannot accidentally like lose their salvation, but he can willfully throw it away. That he can decide that he's throwing away his salvation. I said, well, first, you are assuming a number of things. You are assuming that when we say that somebody has received salvation, it's like somebody giving you a package and say that take, and the person says take it. So it's a package that you have received, okay? So that you can throw it away. But you don't, those people who say that don't understand what happens the moment somebody is born again. When that person is born again, you knew the person at 6:18. You knew the person at 6:18, and the person prayed the prayer of salvation. At 6:19, it's not the same person you're talking to. It's not the same person. This is a different person. That's why it says, if any man be in Christ, it says, a new creature. The person is brand new. This is not the same guy you knew before he prayed the prayer of salvation. He's new now. Hallelujah. Now, what about free will? Yes. The free will can only be exercised within the ambits of what the person is. Okay? For example, if it were possible for an eagle to become a goat, if that eagle became a goat, that goat can exercise, let's say, free will, but it can never fly again. Do you see that? It can only choose within its sphere. Now it's a goat sphere. First, I had an eagle sphere. Now it's a goat sphere. When somebody is born again, that person is no longer, he is a totally different person now. Yes, he has free will, but he exercises it within the domain of light. Hallelujah. You cannot get yourself unborn again and become a child of darkness again. It's not possible. Hallelujah. That's so important. This is so important because then what about eternity? Then as we go into eternity, somebody one time can say, I wonder what's happening down there where they bound those angels that are tormenting Lucifer, Satan and co. Somebody, what in eternity with Christ, then it means that somebody can say that they are wondering, they want to know what's going on. They may want to say they are getting bored. Hallelujah. So that's why I say that the helmet of salvation, this thing is so important here. Because this is where a lot of the blows are aimed at. Okay? You're not good enough. You've not done enough. You're not believing enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not trusting enough. You're not working in faith enough. It is here. Are you sure you are saved? It is here. So this is where the arrows are aimed. Hallelujah. This is where the arrows are aimed. It's aimed up here. So it says that there's the helmet of salvation. It's irreversible. Hallelujah. It is irreversible. Irreversible. The next point is that that person who is a new creature, when he was not a new creature, he couldn't, without being born again, he could never get up one day and say, I'm tired of being a descendant of Adam. He can be tired all he wants. It will not change anything. Do you realize that? Does he have free will? He has free will. But as tired as he is of being a descendant of Adam, I'm tired of being a descendant of Adam. I'm tired. Satan can no longer be his Lord. He can be tired all he wants. Unless he's born again, that free will account for nothing. Hallelujah. So the salvation, you have to know it, that you know it, that you know it, that you know it. You are born again forever. Hallelujah. This is why it has to be settled. Hallelujah. Amen. It has to be settled. It has to be settled. The more you look into this, the more you see how much effort did it take somebody to remain a sinner. Did it take any effort? Some days the sinner was a good sinner. Some days he was a bad sinner. He was still a sinner. Hallelujah. Without effort. Without effort. No, remedial refresher courses. He's just a sinner. That's his nature. And if he died without effort, he'll go to hell effortlessly. Even if he had helped somebody carry their baggage the day that he died. Right? Yes. No matter what he did, he gave his last morsel of food to some orphans to eat the day that he died. effortlessly he will go to hell. Think about it, though. Effortlessly he will land in hell. And all because Adam did the work on his behalf. Adam did the work so well that this guy, no matter what he did, he was destined for hell. So this is how good Adam's work was. What about Jesus' work? That Adam did a work that I don't even know what that fruit looked like. And I always say that. I don't know. You know, we say the forbidden apple. It was not an apple. We don't know what it was. It's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what it was. I don't know. The taste. Eve is the one who said it looked like it would be good. It would taste good. But none of us have seen that tree. We were born into something that Adam had already arranged. And helplessly, we're on our way to hell. Without any effort. In fact, if the rapture were reversed, it was Satan who was rapturing his people. You didn't have to do anything to go as a sinner. And now, this Jesus that we call the second Adam or the last Adam, who is far greater than that old Adam, we are saying that, yes, he got me saved, but maybe I can lose my salvation. I couldn't lose my damnation under Adam, but I can lose my salvation under Jesus. Do you understand? It is not biblical. That's why I said that the logos is important, the doctrine, because wrong logos, wrong rhema. If the logos is wrong, the rhema will be wrong. If the person does not understand the sound doctrine, and because they will give their own interpretation. They'll give their own interpretation. And you see, there are all kinds of logos. Jesus, we read it, he said that what? By your logos, you'll be condemned. And he said that by your logos, you'll be justified. And what did he talk about? What did he talk about? He said that... It's very loud. You know? So he said that by your logos, you'll be condemned. Which means that if your logos is wrong, it will produce wrong rhema. And he says that if the rhema is wrong, then on the day of judgment, that wrong rhema the person has spoken will come to pass. That's what he said. That's why he said, every idle rhema that men shall speak, they will give accounts in the day, on the day of judgment. So salvation, it has to be settled here. Says the helmet of salvation. Put it on always. If you have to be telling yourself, I am born again. Thank God I'm born again. I can never go to hell. Oh, even if I tried, I can never go to hell. You see that? So that's called the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, then he said that, and taking the sword of the Spirit, he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He said the sword of the Spirit. Remember we said that for the shield of faith is a logos. So you don't need special revelation to defeat the devil or to defeat the devil's wiles. Let me put it that way. You don't need special revelation. And it's amazing. You see how God has made it. So anybody, anywhere, it is written. It is written. It is written. And that's enough. Now he says that the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. He says that now you're going on the offense. Take what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. All right. Now, what is he talking about here? He says that the sword, the rhema of God is a sword. It's for what? Offense, isn't it? You want to take territories, right? You take territories. And you want to conquer new things. You want to possess new things. Hallelujah. You have to deploy the rhema. Glory to God. You want to dispossess some aliens. The rhema. Glory to God. So he says that take the rhema, the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Now, verse 18 says that, now when you see a colon at the end of the word of God in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, you see a colon there if you're using the King James. So he's telling you that what he's coming to say is a continuation of what he said before, right? So he says that, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, praying always. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, right? Prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So what is he talking about? I established from Isaiah chapter 28 that he was saying something. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak. I will give rhema to these people. Okay? He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, I will give rhema. So what he's saying is that the rhema is... Okay, let me say it this way. The stammering lips will bring in the rhema. The stammering lips will bring in the rhema. When we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul quoted from this Isaiah 28, where he said that, for it is written in the law, with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to these people. Hallelujah. So now, he's talking about the same thing here. He says that praying, why is he linking the rhema of God to praying in the Spirit? Why is he linking the rhema of God with praying in the Spirit? And it is because the rhema, or let me say, the speaking in tongues is like an accelerant. It's an accelerant, okay? It's an accelerant of the rhema. It's an accelerant. Now, here is what happens. You have, you want to burn, and this is just a crude analogy, but we'll make do with it. So you want to burn some dry grass and everything on the field, okay? But it's only the dry you want to burn. But there's green there, but it's a dry that is going to burn, okay? Now, you can light the match, and you realize that you have to be burning. You may have to do this thing over and over and over until you cover grounds, okay? But if you took some accelerant, it's usually fuel, okay? It could be petrol or whatever it is that comes in a can, an accelerant, and you sprinkle it all over. Now, you see that when you ignite that thing, suddenly it covers the whole area. Do you see that? It covers the whole area. Remember that we have talked about establishing the logos in you. He said, let the logos of Christ dwell in you richly. So you'll be... The logos is dwelling in you richly. The logos of his grace. The logos of righteousness. The gospel of the grace of God. It's settled in your heart. You've consumed it over and over. And your doctrine is right. Your logos is correct. Now... We said what? The logos, I said the logos in action is what? The rhema, or the quickened logos. Because the logos is vast. I mean, like, it is represented by the person of Jesus Christ. This vast covers everything. All things in heaven, all things in earth, all things under the earth. The Bible says all things were made by him, the logos. But then you want to accomplish something. But all things were made by the logos. What do you need to accomplish that thing? You need the rhema. Hallelujah. You need a rhema. So now the question is, which aspect of the logos is the sword now for this purpose? Which aspect of the logos is the sword now that I'm going to deploy in this particular situation? And your logos, that's why I said that you cannot have rhema without the logos. And I said wrong logos equals wrong rhema. So if the logos is wrong, the rhema, the person will just be there and say, and come up with something that is not, you know, and they claim it's revelation also. You know, like they come up with all kinds of things that, and they say that it's also revelation. Yes, it's a revelation, but it's a wrong revelation. Why? Because the logos is wrong. But when that logos is there, it's dwelling in you richly, and then you need that word. You need that word, okay? And you need to get that rhema with stammering lips and another tongue. I will give rhema to these people. So when you speak in tongues, it's like pouring this accelerant all over the field. And then this speaking in tongues is like the Holy Ghost virtually just scans the whole logos and gives you the rhema. Hallelujah. He just scans and gives you the rhema. So here's the point. I said that if you have something urgent to deal with, speak in tongues. And speak in tongues and wait for the rhema. You are speaking, I call it speaking in tongues with a mission. Okay? It's not just casual. This is speaking with a mission. So I'm speaking in tongues. I'm listening for something. Hallelujah. There's something that I want. So if you have something urgent, speak in tongues. If you have something important, get the logos in first. Get the logos in and then speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's like I've told you this time and again, how like years ago I had a trip and I had to go through Amsterdam. So I showed up at the Dutch embassy for my transit visa, and then they looked into it and I had written something in the passport. The guy said, "Who wrote this?" I said, "I wrote it myself." He said, "I had to go and get a new passport." So then I went to the passport office and the guy looked at me and he said, "Now, let's say my ticket's for tomorrow night. So I have to get that transit visa today." So the guy looked at me and said, "Who wrote this thing?" I said, "I wrote it." He said, "Are you aware that it's a crime to deface the passport of the Republic of Ghana?" And then he said I should go and that they were not going to give me any new passport because I had even committed a crime. I should be thankful they were not going to report me to the police. So a number of options came up, okay? The first one was that this was a trip that was sponsored by the Ministry of Health. So I said, okay, I could go there, but I didn't think they could solve this problem for me within a day. Do you get it? I could go there, they'll say, okay, somebody write a letter, somebody will sign it, the letter is missing, all kinds of things. Okay? Because even to get that, specifically for that trip, the letter got missing a couple of times. But anyway, so like, or I would go and somebody had replaced my letter. And it was interesting, I would just be in school and then I'd have the air to come to Accra. And I come and I show up, and then the letter that I wrote and signed, when they bring the letter, it's a different letter. Anyway, so I was like, okay, if I were to go by this route, it would probably, I wasn't going to get that new passport. So I said, okay, what about your uncle? So my uncle, like, used to be IDP. I said, oh, maybe he may know somebody. I said, look, this uncle, he can be, like, if I get, it may take a while also. So I really don't know. There was not going to be a natural answer right there that will solve that problem for me to be able to go on my trip tomorrow. So I just stood outside the gate. The guy who told me that I should be thankful they were not going to report me. So I just stood outside and I began to speak in tongues. And I was just speaking in tongues. And I was speaking fast. And I just wanted to know what to do. Like, because you need a word. You are looking for a solution right now. Do you understand? This is that's what I said. When you have something urgent, just speak in tongues and speaking with a mission. It's not like casually, Charlie, you, like, not now. I've got something to do. And you are speaking in tongues. And I was speaking in tongues so fast, I didn't care anybody could hear whatever. I was just speaking in tongues. Finally, somebody tapped me and I turned. In fact, I ignored the person. I thought the person meant I was in his way. So I just tapped this way and I continued speaking in tongues. Then the person tapped me again and I turned. He said, "Oh, would you like to see the boss?" That's the director of passports. It was his deputy who said they wouldn't give me a new passport. So now his boss, he asked me, "Oh, would you like to see the boss?" Now, what even moved him to, because he had entered his office and locked the door, and I was standing outside. He didn't even know I was there. So now he came and tapped me and asked, "Oh, do you want to see the boss?" I said, "Yes." So he said, "Okay, hold on a second." So he went into his boss, and then he came back and said, "He said we should give you a new passport." And then, even I was shocked. So, like, he was like, "Oh, you want to see him?" I said, "Yes." You know, it was too. So I went in there, and the man said, "I said I should give you a new passport. What is it again?" I got my passport, same. I got it. And that problem was solved. So you get what is happening? So at that point, you want something. It's not just like casual, but I'm looking for a solution. I said, speaking with a mission, on a mission. Like you're on a mission. Speaking with a purpose. Hallelujah. So you have to release the accelerant. Ignite the whole field. And then suddenly, the solution will come. Sometimes it can be one word. The rhema will come. One. And that is all. It solves the whole issue. Hallelujah. It solves the whole issue. Glory to God. And you would see, like, the way Jesus related to people. When he got to the little girl, "Little girl, I say unto you, arise. Young man, arise. Lazarus, come." Do you see? It's every time, it's whatever the spirit is quickening. Glory to God. whatever the spirit is quickening. And I said that if there's something important, like this is not a suddenly issue, this is an issue that has been brewing for a long time, don't be in a hurry to just be praying amiss. Don't be in a hurry. Get into the Logos. Okay? And what can guide you is that you can get all the Logos that applies to similar cases in the scriptures and just like read them, feed on them, meditate on them. So drive them in. Make sure that you've settled that Logos in your spirit. And then when you speak in tongues, rapidly, with stammering lips and another tongue, the rhema will come. Hallelujah. The rhema will come. So that's why he said that taking the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. In the spirit. Because that rhema is being conveyed to you by what? Speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues. So this is so important. And that's why people liken it to those who resist like speaking in tongues. They liken them to somebody, you are going on a building that has maybe 50 floors or 100 floors and you are determined to climb up the staircase. Okay? But there's a lift that will just take you up there. You eventually get there. Eventually. You see? But then the person who is going up by the lift, acceleration. Hallelujah. So, speaking in tongues accelerates the delivery of what? The rhema. Hallelujah. Many, you know, these things, that's why God is breaking it down for us like this. Because many people don't understand. Like, you know what is Logos? We've grown up with these words in church, right? Logos, rhema. And then, the Logos, like, it's rhema. You need rhema. But what exactly is this? And what exactly is this Logos? Hallelujah. And from what we were told, you would think that, oh, the Logos is not that important. They were told that the physical Bible we are holding is the Logos. So you have the Jehovah Witness Logos, you have the Amplified Logos, NIV Logos, and all that. That's what we're told to understand. But the Logos, man, is the word of it. Is the word of God. Okay? It's the word of God, which conveys the thoughts, intents, and purposes of God. So that's the Logos. The word of God that conveys the thoughts, intents, and purposes of God. So somebody can misunderstand that. And that's why I said that right Logos will lead to what? Right rhema. Wrong Logos will lead to wrong rhema. Because what you have understood, what you have received, is what the Spirit of God is going to quicken to you. That's what He's going to quicken to you. Praise the Lord. It's so important. And speaking in tongues also, because we've talked about it, where you are speaking in tongues, and we said that as you speak in tongues, the Bible says that he edifies himself, he builds himself up. But that's not the only thing that speaking in tongues accomplishes. Building yourself up is not the only thing that it accomplishes. Delivery of the rhema is a very critical part of that. Delivery of the, to deliver that rhema to you. Hallelujah. And so once that is quickened, what do you do next? What do you do next? When the word has now come. You see, sometimes people let it slip. They let it slip. Because they go through this. And people have been getting this accidentally. That's why people tell you that, oh, like, you know, like your brother's testimony. He was looking for a place. And then when he was speaking in tongues, suddenly he had an address. And then you went there, and then that was, you know. But then how did it come about? The Logos was there, and then the stammering lips came and ignited the whole field, and then brought up that rhema. And then what do you do now? When that rhema comes, what do? You have to take it. It's a sword. Take the sword. And what do? You hold on to it, and with it, you what? You wage a good warfare. You are going to hold on to it. And that rhema has to be in your mouth. Speaking it. Declaring it. We established in the beginning that it says the angels of God, they excel by the rhema of God. That is how it works. They excel by the rhema. It's not that they excel by the Logos. They excel by the rhema. Okay? So it is the rhema that causes, that activates angelic activity. Hallelujah. If it weren't so, everybody will be having angelic activity at work. Do you realize that? Yes. And when you realize that there are times that when you've prayed in tongues, or you're praying in tongues, you get to a point where suddenly there's something coming. There's a word that keeps coming. It can be restore. It can be just that word. Restore, restore, restore. It can even be peace, peace. It can just be that. But that is the solution. So now you take that word and deploy it to whatever situation you are dealing with. And you hold on to it until you see it come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Until you see it come to pass. You take it. It says, that's why it said, taking the shield of faith. And then it says, taking what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the rhema. And you have to take it and hold on to it and wield it. It's a weapon. It's your favorite. It's a sword. It's not bow, arrow. God chose the sword. Hallelujah. You know, David and Jonathan. So when Jonathan died, the Bible says he taught all the children of Israel. He wrote it that they should teach them how to use the bow. Do you know why? Because that was Jonathan's favorite weapon. Do you remember David's song? He said that, oh, the sword of Saul and the bow of Jonathan. He said the bow of Jonathan never turned back until he had defeated his enemies. But this was such a, you know, with a bow and arrow, you can hit the enemy from a distance. But no, they didn't prioritize it. That's how come Saul was on Mount Gilboa fighting for his life. If they had mastered the use of the bow. So David immediately said, teach all the children to use the bow and the arrow. Hallelujah. For us is the sword. God says the sword is fine. Hallelujah. He said, within you, cut down the enemy on every side. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. And then you will possess. That rhema will cause you to what? To possess. It's an offensive weapon. Hallelujah. It's an offensive weapon. This is why you will find that the churches that don't prioritize the Holy Ghost, that don't believe in speaking in tongues, they say, we have the word. We have the word. They have some word. Okay? And whatever they have, occasionally, there's some rhema here in the Bible. It does not abound. And then there are others who also prioritize the Spirit. They don't prioritize the Logos. They also, they just, like, they shout a lot and everything. But you realize that not much rhema. Not much rhema. But if you combine the accurate Logos with speaking in tongues, you will find that there's a lot. That's why miracles accompany certain ministries. Miracles. And you see, what I'm teaching you, it's something that it's workable. do you get it? Like, you can take anything right now, anything, and just get into the word and get the right logos on it. It's like somebody who is sick and believes that he is Job. But if you are Job, you have to be healed. Do you realize that? But his Job, the Job that he knows of, didn't get healed. So he has the wrong logos. It's a problem. But if that person has the right logos, this person has the right logos and takes it. Just you take that logos and you incubate on it and you speak it out. Rhema will come. It is not possible for the logos to abound and the rhema would not show up. It is not possible. Glory to God. Yeah, I like to prove the thing that works. Like I wanted to prove it. Hallelujah. The great ministers of the gospel who have worked or who are working miracles and everything. When I was in UD, I was listening to Pastor Chris a lot. Probably I listened to well over 200 messages by Pastor Chris. Maybe the ones that he was last crusade working miracles, maybe two or three. I was not really like that keen on, like they were great and everything, but that was not I was not looking for that. I was looking for the logos. Because I knew that if I had the logos, I'll get the method. Hallelujah. And you can produce it. Glory to God. Yes, because that is what makes the man. It is the logos that makes the man. Are we together? It is the word. It's the word, the doctrine that makes the person. The doctrine. But you know, when we talk about doctrine, people understand it to be, you know, the doctrine of men. Like Jesus said, you people, by your traditions, have made of none effect the word of God. Okay, so that's talking about like people's own doctrine. But doctrine, when we're talking about doctrine, the Bible, we're talking about Bible doctrine. Accurate New Testament doctrine, like the word of righteousness. It's also the doctrine of righteousness. The word of his grace also means the doctrine of his grace. These are doctrines that you should master. Hallelujah. Everything else is superfluous. It's not, it doesn't really add much. People have also carved their own. They have created their own. This is, in this church, this is our doctrine. That's also different. But when it comes to the word, make sure that you have what? Accurate logos. Just feed it, feed on it, feed on it, feed on it. What will happen? I said, what will happen? The rhema will come. The rhema will come. So this is so important. You can take it for anything. It is workable. It is doable. It is something that is practical. Hallelujah. So, and if you can explain a number of things. I told you, you before about how, like, my roommate and I, we went to town and then we went to, so we're coming to cook. So we came back to the room and he went into the balcony. So I came and stood there. He had just put the thing on the rice cooker. I stood there and I said, Kojo, I'm hungry. So I was hungry. So I said, I'm hungry. And then suddenly he was like, why? You know, I just turned on the rice cooker. Suddenly I couldn't even see Kojo. I couldn't see there was, I was just looking at the rice cooker. I said, 3, 2, 1. And the thing was cooked. And you know, he said, hey, you know, you're so excited. But when you have the logos in abundance, you'll find that these things, like, it's not a strange thing. It happened again. I was, there, some years ago, my, either the microwave and the rice cooker, or the rice cooker, or one of them, was not functioning. And I was not in the position to go and buy one. I said, no, you work. I brought it back. It worked until I was tired of it. Hallelujah. So there are things that, and so it's not limited to maybe healing somebody and things like that. It's the Bible says that all things were made. Okay, made. That made alone. I told you how somebody used work together, work to open his airplane. Hallelujah. So this is it. We need a logos. If there's something important, get into the logos. That's what I said. If you have something important to do, get the logos. After you know that you know. Release the accelerant. And I told you, the ratio is what? 5 to 10,000. That's the ratio. So somebody who believes that, he has some wonderful, like, things that he's saying and all those things, and the guy who is actually praying in tongues, the ratio is 5 to 10,000. 1 to 2,000. That's how it is. How do we know this? You know these things. As you become familiar with the ways of God, God shows you things in the scriptures. They were written there, but suddenly you see them. Okay? He didn't say 3 to 9,000 or whatever. He said 5. I'd rather speak 5 in a known tongue than 10,000. So what is he telling you? In the same breath that you are speaking 5 words in a known tongue, if you speak in tongues, it's like 10,000. That ratio, you can't overcome that ratio. So the guy who is seriously speaking in tongues, full of the logos, will go farther than the one who is just like babbling here and there and all those things. Hallelujah. You cover more grounds. More grounds. Vast areas. In some countries, one person can have a farm, 10,000 acres or hectares. In some countries, if you have 2 acres of land for farming, that's serious. Do you realize that? Because those other guys are not there with a hoe and cutlass. They are there with, like, major equipment. Hallelujah. And this is our major equipment that God has given us. Speaking in tongues. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it moves. And, you know, the Bible says that in the beginning God created heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, it's telling you right there what is happening there. As the Spirit moved, and what did Paul say to Timothy? Stir up the gift of God. It's like stirring of waters. Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on my hands. And then what happens as you stir the waters? The rhema, the creative word will come. Hallelujah. The creative. So you have that thing. You say, don't worry. You tell that problem, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Just, I'm coming for you now. Hallelujah. And as you get in there, the solution will come. Glory to God. Yeah. But you see, this is how simple God has made it. But this is why it's also possible to miss it. It's so simple that it's possible to just miss it. Not pay attention to the word, not pay attention to it, of course, or to hear the wrong doctrine. Now it doesn't matter whatever it is. You are in a workplace, somebody's worrying or whatever. Don't just go get the logos in. Get the logos in. Just get that logos. Just feed on the logos. Feed on the logos. Okay? And as you are meditating on the logos, sometimes while you are even, the moment you open it, because the Spirit of God already has something to work with. And you know, God's plan is not for you to be a troubleshooter, okay? But because He's already like working in you, so His plan is not that you get into trouble or whatever it is. You are supposed to be like active on the go. So sometimes when you take the word, the rhema, it just comes out. And when it comes out, what are you supposed to do? Declare it. And don't stop speaking that rhema. Keep speaking it to that thing until you see the change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Until you see the change. When you declare it, because now it is rhema, you know that it is done. All you have to do is speak. That's why I say, having done all, stand. Stand there doing what? Speaking. Speaking. Once it has come to you, oh, glory to God, glory to God. It is done. And I'm speaking it, holding on to it. No, oh, you don't know. We've been at this thing for so long. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When Jesus Christ took Peter's boat, and then he taught the people. He saturated the place with logos. And then now he said, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. That was what? The rhema. And that's, on another hand, he said what? Cast the net on the right side. On another day, it was what? Into the deep. But every time, it always worked. Hallelujah. It always worked. Yeah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
If you understand this thing, the question of if two Christians are looking for this, they want to buy this boat, which of them is going to get it? You understand? Hallelujah. Anybody carrying the rhema, glory to God. And most of the time, you usually not find a lot of believers doing this anyway. So you don't have a problem. You are one of the elite. Glory to God. You are wielding it. God would want all of us to be manifesting this rhema, carrying it, creating solutions and everything. But not everybody has the time. He said that the people saw. He said they are turned back from following my rhema. Saul didn't have the time. Tell you, he was busy. Saul needed a solution right now. He needed a solution right now, so he didn't have time for the word. That's so funny, isn't it? The rhema that he had been given, he had a solution. But he said that the people were putting too much pressure on him, so he didn't have time. He didn't have time for the rhema. The rhema had been given him because God said, Saul has turned back from following my rhema. Is that not so? That's what God told Samuel. He said, they are staying back from following my rhema. He said to Samuel, how long are you going to, like, he said, I've regretted making Saul king because he has turned back from following my rhema. And here's why the rhema is so important. Do you realize that, okay, you are at home. You have some laid down, maybe in code rules for the kids, like you or someone who comes to work. You have something. Okay, do this at 10 o'clock. Do this at 12. The person may do it at 10:30. You don't. You're not going to. Hey, why? You know, like usually you don't mind, right? They don't do it on Thursday, but they ended up doing it on Friday or whatever it is. You are a bit displeased, but you can allow that. But when you give a direct instruction, you expect it to be followed immediately. Do you see that? Are you with me? That's how come. And if the person defies that direct instruction, that's their last day on the job. That's how come Saul, who turned back from following the rhema, and David, who disobeyed the logos, David kept his throne and Saul was dismissed at one offense. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this is so important. I said that establishing this thing, it has to be established for you. So the question is, what is your logos? What is your own logos? Because people have their private meanings. Private meanings. Okay? If you are still... Because the reason why the logos is so important is that when you had these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were in the fiery furnace. And at that point, you see, if you think that even if our God does not deliver us, that's a problem there. Because there's only one outcome if he doesn't deliver you. Do you realize that? But when you know that the only way out of this is that the fire, when you step into the fire, you will not be burnt. Your rhema will line up with the logos. And you'll be out of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is an important thing. And we are going to speak in tongues. You have things that maybe you've built some logos around. Hallelujah. And you are going to release some accelerant. Glory to God. You are going to speak in tongues. And what will happen is that as you do that, the Spirit of God has a lot to work with. He has a lot to work with. What did Jesus say? He said that he will remind you of the things that I've said to you. And the things that he says to us, thankfully, are written. God actually wrote a book. Hallelujah. So we know the things that he has said. And then he said that as you engage your tongue, as you speak in tongues, stammering lips, what will happen? There'll be a release. Glory to God. And if you do that, you've done it for 30 minutes, 1 hour, the rhema has come. Don't worry, just adjourn the meeting. Next time you are building on it, what did they say? Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Every time you are building, hallelujah. It's coming. It cannot not come. Hallelujah. It's definitely coming. Glory to God. So every time you adjourn, next time you come, you start higher. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's why when you make a habit of speaking in tongues, you see that it's easy for the rhema to come. When you make a habit of speaking in tongues a lot, and also you are full of the word. This explains the prayer warrior's question, doesn't it? Lots of tongues, no logos. Did you get what I said? Okay. If you didn't get it, you can ask Brother Charles. He'll explain it to you. You go over there and say, yes. Because that explains the prayer warrior problem. Lots of tongues, little logos. No logos. Little logos. Zero logos. So, yeah, no rhema. Hallelujah. Somebody says, oh, but you know, that's what come prayer warriors. You say, oh, tell the person, I understand why. I can teach you. Are you willing to learn? Hallelujah. You get that, right? This is it. There's accelerant, but there's no logos. So what is the Spirit going to ignite? Maybe the person himself will burn. That's not having a logos. Because if the logos is there and the accelerant counts, powerful combination. Glory to God. Powerful combination. That is the necessary combination, in fact. The necessary combination. And that also explains why some of the churches that say that they are word-based but don't give time to the Spirit also no rhema. Or not much rhema. Not much rhema. No signs. You know, like the miraculous. It's not much over there. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and pray. Glory to God. This kind of message, you have to listen to it and listen to it and listen to it until it has become your logos. It is so important that it has to be settled in you. Hearing it one time, remember, even the rhema, that's why I said that when the rhema is given, he said faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the rhema. Hearing and hearing and hearing the rhema. That's why the pastor was saying, I'm a pastor. I know all that stuff, but check my child to see whether you're sitting poison grass or not. Do you get it? So let's begin to speak. Just speak in tongues. There's something you've been building some logos around. And you're going to, this is just to exercise you here, but I expect that you'll continue later. And you speak in tongues. And speak in tongues. And usually that kind of tongues, you are speaking fast. Because your mind, you don't want your mind to get in and be wandering all over the place. You are speaking fast. You are speaking aggressively. Yes. With full concentration. And when the rhema comes, it's like you can't miss it. It's like an explosion. Comes with a light. Visible. And you know that this is it. You know that this is it. Oh, makalaba shanda rabakabahaya. Makola basata la brande kaba irabasata la bahaya. Makole brande kedere besata la branda kaba irabasata la brande karabasata la branda bakarabasato le brande de bekarabahaya. Makole brande de bekato le brande de bekata la basata la brande de bekarabasata la brande de bekarabahaya. Lita la brande kato le brande ke palibosata karabasata la brande kapalibosata kabaya. Le brande soto le brande de bekata la basata la bakapa irabasata la bahaya. Raposeto le brande ke pele brande kapa irabasata la branda La passata la bradeca tole bredeca tole breste che tele brosto copa de bacapa la passata la prata capa ibasata la prata capa rabasato le bredeca tole breste capara rabasata la prata capa irabasata la prata capa rabasato le bredeca pa dele bosata la prata capa e carabasata la bradeca pale bosata la prata capa rabasata la prata capa rabasato le bredebe capa de besata le prasta capa irabasata la prata Rabakapaya, Rabasato, le predeca perebesata, Rabasata, la pradeca palebesata, la pradacapaya, Rabasata, la pradeca palebros de capade, Reposoto, le predecata, la brasta capaya, Rabasata, la pradacapa, Irabasata, la pradacapaya, Rabasato, le predeca palebasata capade, Rabasato, le predeca pelebosata capab, Rabasato, le predeca terebosata capab, Rakirabasata, la pradebeca terebesata, la pradebeca. Capaya, e cattoria terebe satala bradebe capaya, rabasato le prete capa, e caria terebe satorebe capali via taraba capaya, rapasata la prada capari basataraba, rabasata la prada da bacaparebe satana pradaba capaya, elebo satana prada da bacaraba capaya, rakarabasata la bradebe catorebe capa, e caria taraba satana prada capaya, rapasata la bradebe capaya, e calebe satana bradebe catorebe capa, e casa. La prade capab, e la rabasata la prade capab, e le rebosata la prade rebe capab, e kerebe sato le prade rebe capab, e carabasata la prade rebe capaya, e carabasata la prade capare basata la prade capab, e carabasato le prade rebe capaya, e carabasata la prade capaya, e carabasate, e kerebe sata, la carabasata la prade rebe capaya, e kerebe sate rebe capab, la corebe sata la prade rebe capab, e carebe sato le prade rebe capab. E carabasata la bacapa, la carabete de becapa, e rebosata la bacarabahaya, e carabesata la prada da bacapa, la corebesata la prada da bacapaya, e carabesata de becapa, bosata la prada da bacapaya, e carabesata de prada de becapaya, e carabasata, e carabesata, racaba de betalebeta da bacapaya, bosato le prede de becapaya, e carabasata la prada capaya, rabasato le prede de becapaya, e carabasata la prada. Capaya, Rabasata la prende capaya, la carabasato le prende capa, e carabasato le prende capaya, e carabasata la prende capaya, Rabasata la prende capaya, e carabasata, e carabasata, la carabasata, racorebesata, e carabasata la prende capare, bosata le prende neve capaya, e carabasata la prende capaya, Rabasato le prende neve capaya, la carabasata la prende neve capaya, bosate le prende. Rebecca e Carabas Satella Rebecca Pab, Bosata la Prade Capab, e Carabasata, a Carabasata Cabade, Rapale Bosata Cabab, La Fade Bosate, Becerebesate, e Kerebosato le Brede Rebecca Payab, e Carabasata la Prada Capayab, Bacorebesate le Brede Rebecca Pab, e Calabasata la Prada Rabaca Payab, Bacorebesate le Brede Rebecca Pab, e Calabasato le Brede Rebecca Pab, e Carabasata la Prada Rabayab, Bacarabasata la Prada Rabaca Pab, Bacorebe. Bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa telebrede de capa, e carabasata la prada capa, bacorebesa teleb Lekana bata 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 b
We cancel their words on the wicked. We cancel their words. We demolish their stands. We break them to pieces. We crush their agenda. Marco Santa Cabana 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 Cabana
Katala branda kabade bahala. Ikatole brende de bekada bahaya. Legede besata la baka bahaya. Rakabasata la brada da baka bahaya.